Classic Final Fantasy games provided a fantasy, magical, mystical universes, early industrial works at best. Those themes went largely unchanged into the reality TV show era, post-Survivor, Big Brother, etc., or at least were never emphasized until recently. Final Fantasy XVI is truly entering its teenage years, adopting mature themes of sex, drugs, and torture, and more appear to be in store for us. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight once again with episode number 939 of our show for tonight, December the 4th of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me once again, welcome back to the show, please, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hey.
Hi, welcome back.
I thank you.
We missed you, although our aim is always improving.
Always.
Always. I hope you had a good, I know you kind of had to go because you were visiting your mom, who, you know, you were talking about on the show previously, but I hope all things considered, you had a great time just catching up with people and all that stuff.
I have news, actually.
Oh?
Mom, well, while I was in Alabama, mom got moved from the ICU to a regular room.
Mm.
And they took her catheter out. She was happy about that. I would be too.
I think we all would.
Yeah. She isn't losing as much oxygen when she moves around, although she's still losing some. She's trying to do too much on her own. But they think that she might be ready to be discharged in about a week.
Oh, good.
But then she has to move in with my uncle, and we don't know what's going to happen with her house and everything. Mm. But I'm going to say this right now. Driving from Bay Minette to Mobile and back in Alabama rain.
Mm-hmm.
Dear people in California, never complain about rain again.
Which
never.
Is funny because it's been raining here all weekend. But
this isn't funny. Rain. This has been a light drizzle compared to the shit I drove in.
No, I get it. Everything's bigger in the South, even the weather.
Even the weather.
I will say though, I don't know if it's the lighting, if it's makeup or what, but you look glowing tonight. A little time off is great for the soul, isn't it?
Well, you know, I actually changed one of my lights to a warmer light.
Okay, well, then maybe that's doing it too. But
and then I have a blue purple here.
Okay.
And I have a whiter light here.
How many freaking lights do you have on you over there?
I have four. I have two panel lights that are about yay big. And I have a ring light that changes color. Okay. And right now I have it set to blue and purple.
Mm-hmm.
I have a plain white, like my old ring light that's like this, but I have it reflecting off of the metal of the desk. You and I have the same desk. And I have my other panel light right there that's warm light. And It turned out pretty nicely.
It does take good lighting. And of course, you know, we are talking about visuals because we do tape live. If you want to see us, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And we tape live so that you all can have your live comments, to which Pod Culture, with our first comment tonight, talking about Dark Sakura's setup, says there are four lights. Yes, yeah. There are indeed four lights, confirmed.
And by the way, for those who aren't live, there's always the VOD.
There is the VOD available to our subscribers over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. But of course, free as a podcast, as it's been ever since. When did we start? I mean, the show started in 2002. When did podcast start? 2004, I think, is when the podcast started. Free as it's been since the beginning, and that's not going to change. So, yeah. Also, say hello to something that's been here from the very beginning and isn't going to change. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
What is? You have a very retro game playing behind you tonight as we are broadcasting. Not. It's not a retro game?
It's not a retro game.
Okay, it's a retro-inspired game, retro. Clearly.
It's a game with that one. Right now, that's a game within a game. But if I restart the video, it's a holiday game, obviously, because...
So, Frog Fraction Holiday? What is it?
No.
Is it Die Hard?
It's Die Hard the Arcade.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there. Gotcha. All right, good, good.
I'm sorry. I'm still going to this day say that Gremlins is the better Christmas movie.
It's, yeah, I guess that's a game within a game. I don't remember playing that game within a game, but, yeah, I played this at the arcade quite a bit.
I think the Die Hard argument is tired. Yes, Die Hard is a holiday movie. Let's move on. My favorite Christmas movie is Batman Returns. That's my favorite Christmas movie.
I'm sorry.
I try to watch it every holiday.
Batman Returns was good.
Yeah, I was like, don't be sorry. It's a great movie.
And actually, my favorite actual, like, Christmassy movie that I like is Elf.
Which is
funny because I don't like Will Ferrell, and I don't really like comedies that much. Not like that. And I love this movie.
I guess I'm really cliche because I have memories of watching A Christmas Story, which I know is super cliche at this point. I think it's very symbolic of our generation. But my mom really loved that movie. And, you know, so there's like, you know, a tie in with that. I wish she could.
Sequel.
There was actually like a really shitty.
I know. There video. Was a really shitty sequel. Now there's the sequel that please don't remember the other sequel.
Well, there's the
retcon sequel, maybe?
This is what we do in 2010 and 2020 is now we just reboot all the shit from the 80s and 90s with Where Are They 30 Years From Now? So that is the Christmas Story movie.
People will either want to watch it because they want to recapture the magic or they'll watch it out of morbid curiosity so that they can actually legitimately complain about it because they did see it.
Some other folks. Go ahead, Loki.
I was going to say, I did want to make out to the theaters this week or I wanted to go see Violent Night, which unfortunately the show times just weren't jiving with my free time. But that's another Christmas movie in the same vein as Fat Man, which is just the best. That is like, it is like if you combine Die Hard with a Christmas movie. Yep.
Tiger Claw just brought that up in chat. I was going to read that. Yeah. What about stuff like Krampus? Is there not like a horror movie for the holidays?
Krampus. The only Krampus I care about is playing. Is it the Trapper in DVD?
Oh yeah, this cute skin in DVD. Yeah.
And it's funny is my wife actually liked Fat Man. Like she was like, I thought there was supposed to be a sequel. They haven't made a sequel yet. Like no, not yet.
Yeah, SSG 100 Matt says there's a Grinch horror movie coming out this week. That's right, because it's the same guy that does. It's the same guy that plays Art the Clown from the Terrifier movies, which I knew about those movies before they were cool because they had the director and the star here. Local. I can't watch
evil clowns. Sorry.
Well, and those movies are violent with a capital B, bolded, underlined. It's just, it's not my thing, but I understand it is some people's thing and cool for you. Like, have fun.
To derail the topics again. Sure. You know, so let's talk about the biggest movie trailer of the week.
Okay, I going to bring it up. Our minds. We're on the same
way. Cocaine Bear is seriously going to be amazing. Like, I cannot wait see that movie.
Maybe not. No, the Cocaine Bear trailer legit looked amazing. I did see that. Dark Soccer, have you seen this? You need to look this up. There's a movie and it's like based on a true story or whatever called Cocaine Bear, which makes me think of that meme with the bear that's like, I fucking love cocaine. But apparently there was a bear that ingested a bunch of cocaine. But the thing is, they're taking a Sharknado approach, it seems, where this movie knows exactly what it is. And we love a self-aware, shitty movie. Like, so.
It's going to be fantastic. I am there day one.
Okay.
For sure.
I thought when you...
A-O-okay.
I thought when you brought up movie trailers from the week, because it isn't on our show roll, so I'll bring it up now and then we'll get into our kickoff topic. But there was a new Mario Brothers movie There was a new Mario Brothers movie trailer, probably in a tweet.
People are already tweeting about it.
I'm sure. It was a whole direct Nintendo did about this. I didn't see the direct, but I did see the second trailer. And I have to say, I have my reservations about who they got to play Mario and the fact that like this trailer just confirms he's just doing a second rate Charles Martinet. Here's the thing. At least Captain Lou Albano and Charles Martinet were very different Marios. There were different approaches to the characters. They were different. I'm sorry, but what I saw in that trailer was second rate Charles Martinet, but It is what it is. I'm trying to move past that because literally everything else in the trailer, I really enjoyed. I thought the fact that they're incorporating like Mario Kart type of elements into it.
And almost like Smash Brothers, maybe.
The way it looks like the stages are kind of like incorporated into it. Like, it looks really good. Yeah, Orange Right in chat says Chris Pratt is not going to ruin the movie. He's not.
Yeah, it's not. And I'm sure I'm willing to see it. There's going to be a twist for who...
Some person he ruins things. That's all.
Yeah. There was I was at Target last night, and there were Parks and Recreation dolls, and one of them was of Chris Pratt's characters. I was like, ugh. But I was like, but Parks and Rec is so good. Like, he's not taking that from me. He's just not. Like, that was back when, before he just was everywhere. That's what it is, y'all. Like, y'all, it's the oversaturation thing.
I really don't have a problem with him. Like, I like the stuff he's in. Like, I don't know. Except Jurassic World. That just is awful. But
the problems are with him as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's some of the ways he's treated his ex-wife and some of the other affiliations. But anyway, he's not going to ruin this movie for me. Because
I file him under problematic faves for a lot of people.
Yes.
I don't care for him as a person. You can't pick one evil over another.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Otherwise, the movie looks really good. Like, I don't want that to ruin what otherwise was a really good trailer otherwise. And let me say this. One thing I absolutely noticed about this trailer that I didn't hear a lot of people talking about is that if you want to talk about problematic fave, it seems that this movie took one of the most tired tropes that Mario is usually guilty of, which is the save the damsel in distress trope. And it looks like it's flipping that on its head, because Princess Peach appears to be the sidekick character. And it looks like Luigi's the damsel in distress. Now, granted, it could always be a misdirect. It could always, you know, the trailer is only a trailer. But certainly we saw Princess Peach doing a lot of different things, and they're really rounding out her character, which I think is great. Like, I've always loved Princess Peach from Mario 2, to be honest, and her floating ability. So I think they should all stand as equals. The Mario 2 quartet, I almost said quintet, the Mario 2 quartet should stand as equals. So I think it's cool.
I will point out that she took that role because of palette swap necessity. However.
Hey, whatever the reason, it worked.
I like her as a character. I played her 90% of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for Super Mario USA.
And to be fair, before everyone, because you know, look, I haven't used Twitter in weeks, but I already know, I already can tell, there's going to be people that are on there that are like, these fucking movies going woke with this Princess Peach in the Knight in Armor. Woke, this woke bullshit, these woke movies doing this woke shit. Just so you know, if you were a real gamer, you would know that Luigi was already the damsel in distress in the Mario games in Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. Luigi was the one needing saving. So this isn't exactly new to the franchise. So sit down, sit on it, shut up, delete your Twitter account.
The kitchen and make me a sandwich.
The only thing that is needing saving in Super Mario World 2 was our eardrums with stupid Mario crying the entire time. Did you see the TV spots that they have also?
Oh, so no, I didn't see those.
Trailers
no.
in different mm-hmm. languages. Who watches that have different TV? Footage in there. So, nobody, but like it's on the internet as well. They had like different, they're from different regions, obviously, and they had different stuff being shown. I mean, it's all good stuff, so it looks very exciting.
I've gone from whatever about the movie to like, okay, yeah, I do want to see this. Like, I want to take Dark Sakura and Loki. I want to go on a thruple date. Whoever else wants to go can come too, but I want to go on a date and go get a big tub of popcorn and just watch this crap and be entertained by it, because it's going to be a bunch of nostalgia stuff. I'm really into it. DJ Rama S in chat says, I swear if they make Daisy the damsel in distress, I'm going post-apocalyptic. I don't think that you would already know Daisy's in the movie if that was the case. So I don't think that's happening. But who's to say that Daisy won't play some role in the sequel? Like, I'm actively thinking about where the hell does a sequel go now from this point? Because I think that could be very interesting, to be honest. So and this idea that maybe they are setting up a metaverse with or a multiverse or whatever with Donkey Kong and all this other stuff. I it could be interesting. So Tiger Claw in chat says, I think having Peach having a more active role is great. She has recently been playing in some of the games, so it makes sense she goes on the adventure. Yes. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I've seen enough of this stuff over the years. I'm telling you, Charles Martinet is one of two things in this movie. He's Wario, like at the very end in some type of setup for the next movie where Wario's the bad. I think that's less likely. Number two, and I think this is absolutely what it's going to be, he's going to be Mario and Luigi's father, which is a character that's never been introduced in the games or anything. And absolutely Mario and Luigi's, like, I like bet Charles Martinet is going to play a parent or a grandparent, some type of family member of Mario and Luigi's that we've never met. So we'll see. Come back, clip it, and we'll come back to this in a few months when the movie's out. Let's see. Tiger Claw says the movie mentions about galaxies, so it's possible we might see Rosalina. There's a leak of a toy that shows what appears to be Luma Lee. Ooh, I can't see in our chat. Welcome, welcome, says Jumpman. That's a really clever way to how to incorporate like a father figure for Mario and Luigi, is that it could trace back to the OG Mario or Jumpman from the Donkey Kong games. And it could tie into, you know, Donkey Kong being a brute now and all this stuff. Like, I don't know. I didn't write the movie, but I could see where like the more classic Jumpman could be something that Charles Martinet is actually playing. So we'll see. I think that's a clever little way they could do it. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, all right, that wasn't really on our list of things to talk about tonight, but when we started talking about movies, had to talk about that a little bit. Let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, and then we'll get into our gaming weeks. But speaking of Nintendo, not all the news is good on Nintendo front this week. In fact, I don't know what else to say, Loki. This is just a mess. It's a mess.
It's confusing is what it is. It's basically, there was this Smash World Tour that was going on, and they had announced that it was, without warning, being shut down by Nintendo, who told them they can no longer operate. And, of course, Smash World Tour is run by a third-party group of fans who put together a bunch of these different tournaments. And I think it was, like, almost at the annual championship was coming up with massive cash prizes. And I think they even had, like, a charity element to it as well. But now they're going to have a prize pool of, $250,000. And they were even planning on having a prize pool of $350,000 for 2023. But without warning, they said, we received notice the night before Thanksgiving from Nintendo that we can no longer operate. And there's a lot to it. So, the Smash World Tour organizers basically saying, we don't know where everything will land quite yet with the contracts, sponsor obligations, etc. In short, we will be losing hundreds of thousands of dollars due to Nintendo's actions. That being said, we are taking steps to remedy many issues that have arisen from the cancellation. So they're going to be working with that. But then, of course, there's also this drama that's going on with Panda, which is the Panda Cup, which is a separate entity whatsoever that runs another set of tournaments as well. And there's allegations that they're responsible for Nintendo canceling it, and because there's like animosity between the two groups or something like that. Basically saying, in November 2021, after Panda Cup was first announced, Nintendo contacted us to jump on a call with a few folks on their team, including a representative from their legal team. We were truly thought that we might be getting shut down given the fact that they had licensed a competing circuit and partner in Panda. Once we joined the call, we were very surprised to hear the opposite. Then, of course, they reached out to know that they've been watching us for years, and they, wanted to see if we were interested in working with them and pursue a license as well. So originally they had kind of gotten somewhat of a license for 2022, but 2023 was in the air. Then after all this,
there's not a lot of time to 2023, especially if you want to plan tournaments. Yeah. You got to give people more than 6 weeks to plan for it. And we're we're like 4 weeks from 2023 at this point. So yeah. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
So then the Nintendo spokesperson had told Kotaku, for example, that unfortunately, after continuous conversations with Smash World Tour and after giving some deep considerations, we apply any potential partner, we are unable to come to an agreement with Smash World Tour for a full circuit in 2023. Nintendo did not request any changes or cancellations of the remaining events in 2022, including the 2022 championship event, and consider the negative impact on players who are already planning to participate. Of course, then Smash World Tour organizers had been, you know, they disputed the statement, saying that unfortunately, as a last ditch effort, we asked if we could continue running the championship and the tour next year without a license and shift our focus working with them in 2024. We alluded how last year's function in the capacity with mutual understanding that we would not get shut down and focus on the future. We were told differently. Those times are now over. And this was the final nail in the coffin given to our very particular relationship with Nintendo. This is when we realized it was truly all being shut down for real. We asked if they understood the waves that would make being forced to cancel, and Nintendo communicated that they were indeed aware. But I remember them saying, though, also that they've also issued, Nintendo's issued a second statement saying that
That's how you know this is messy. I'm sorry. Nintendo actually, number one, Nintendo commenting at all is kind of a shock. The fact that they're commented on it twice, this is a communications disaster. And you can hear it in these statements because very clearly everybody has their own perspective. Nobody can agree on what the fuck is actually going on.
Yeah, because they said that Nintendo's decision was solely based on our assessment from the proposals submitted by SWT and our evaluations of their unlicensed activities. This decision was not influenced by external partners like Panda Global. Any partner that we grant a license to has to meet some high standards we require when it comes to the health and safety of our fans. It also is important that our partners adhere to our brand and IP guidelines and conduct themselves according to professional organizational best practices. We use the same approach to independently assess all partners. If we discover a partner is doing something inappropriate, we will work to correct it. When we notified SWT that we would not license their 2022 or 2023 activities, we also let them know verbally that we were not requiring they cancel the 2022 final events because of the impact it would have on all players. Thus, the decision to cancel SWT 2022 was and still is their own choice. We are open to partnering with other organizations and will continue to offer licenses for major tournaments outside of the Panda Cup. Panda Global will continue to be a key partner, and we look forward to receiving proposals from other groups and tournament licenses, etc.
I need Katie Porter and her fucking whiteboard right now because I don't understand any of this.
I think it's fucking stupid anyways that you have to, like, license from Nintendo to run a tournament for a game. Like,
I think part of it, though, is because you have to use their intellectual property and advertisement, the name of it, everything. It's all licensing. So that absolutely makes 100% sense.
It's like Superb Owl, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mike Deft brings up an interesting thing, subsequent thing that has happened to make this even messier in chat. And I was reading about this online, too, is that apparently a lot of Panda Global members have now quit the org because of this whole, you know, how often do we see this in gaming? It doesn't even matter what the news is. It's what's perceived. So in this situation, it definitely seems there's a perception there that Panda somehow strong-armed Nintendo into shutting down Smash World Tour. I'm not saying that's what actually happened. I'm just saying clearly that perception is out there because 80%, they're saying, of people behind Panda Global are leaving. So now what? So, but I will say this. I will say this. Kudos to those people that work for these things and, you know, I don't think they're donating their time, but spend their time on these types of events and so forth for being able to walk away, because basically they're saying, without us, you're fucked. Good luck. And they're effectively shutting down Panda by doing this. Dark Soccer, you're mute, hard mute on Discord.
There we go. I do wonder who could actually strong arm Nintendo. I mean, realistically.
Well, Nintendo's not going to put on these events themselves, but, I mean, they're just doing themselves a disservice.
Yeah, but Nintendo doesn't really need the money or advertising.
No, they've already sold the games, and they've sold the DLC. I mean,
this is just bonus.
Yeah, no, it's just
right now.
keeping the IP around for the inevitable sequel that will come out, whether Sakurai does it or not. There will be another Smash Brothers for the next system, somehow, some way. But yeah, it's you're right. Nintendo doesn't necessarily have a horse in the race at the end of the day. So it's just interesting that everybody's cutting themselves off to, and at the end of the day,
everyone
it's the fans.
Is giving a different story.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's the fans and the competitors that are suffering, truly. And this will go exactly back to where I'm sure none of these people want it. And that is tournaments at small stores, comic book shops around the country, that there's too many of them. They can't shut them down. You know, homegrown tournaments, the way we used to do it in the DDR scene. We didn't need Konami's permission to do a fucking DDR tournament. We just did it because
Konami was all like, here's right. some free shit.
Yeah, actually, yeah. In the Bay Area, they oftentimes donated stuff. So I guess maybe it's a terrible comparison. But that was back when Konami was cool. Like, you know, now the whole joke is maybe Konami would sue if you tried to do it these days. I guess there are still DDR tournaments, though.
Like, I mean, because like you look at stuff like Evo and stuff like that, where they've had to take Smash out because of this nonsense. So,
yeah.
It's Nintendo. It's always Nintendo. It's always them not understanding how to like interact with the community and stuff. It's just, I don't know. And I get it, like, oh, it's a Japanese company, but
That argument's only going to take you so far. It's, you know, especially now that we're in this era of, we know Nintendo is just as guilty of some of this, or allegedly just as guilty of some of this union busting stuff, the way they treat their workers, their contractors, or their full-time stuff. They are guilty of, you know, infection within the game industry as much as a lot of other companies out there. Nintendo is not immune to this. So this whole excuse of they're just a Japanese company, don't fly anymore. So,
yeah.
Things that go beyond culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, universally accepted things, especially when you're playing on a world market.
Right. Well, and it kind of like, you know, I realize it's a little apple to oranges, but, you know, I think about the story we just had a few weeks ago about Square Enix and that really, really poor statement from Yoshi P on why there are no people of color in Final Fantasy 16. And we had a whole discussion about Japanese developers are just, it's, they don't see it the same way. It's not in their culture the same way. This is a problem in the Japanese development industry that needs to be addressed, not just Yoshi P's statement. Yoshi P's statement is a symptom of that problem. So it would be interesting to see what Japanese developers kind of have to face in the next, you know, few years, because we've already had, ironically, Square Enix come out and say, we need to make games that appeal on a global scale. And then they say that with one hand, and then the other hand, they do something to actively work against that. Anyway.
And I do want to point out something that's going back from, like, old anime arguments, like from the 80s and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, they're based off Japanese models. I mean, they're not really even, I mean, in modern 3D games, yeah, but just like people would have the same argument about anime, but technically they weren't white there either.
So anyway, my point is this whole Nintendo is a Japanese company and they just do things differently. That the amount of times you can use that excuse has run out. For Nintendo, like, we now do business on a global scale. Video games is a global business. All of these things are global. Like, certain things are just going to have to change, and the way they approach communication is one of those things that very clearly has to change. I'm shocked they put out two statements, to be quite honest. And I can even read between the lines on that second statement that apparently the Smash World Tour did something that they didn't like. But they're just not being clear in what that is, for probably professional reasons, because it's not very nice to call out people in a very public way about what it is they did. But I feel like that's what the internet and the fans need to hear, is what specifically is the problem. But we're not going to know. It's just that's how it is. We're never going to know unless it comes out in court. Maybe that's where this whole thing ends up, in a courtroom somewhere. Sure seems destined that way. Anyway, less destined for a courtroom, hopefully, us and the video games we've been playing this week. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming month?
I played, of course, a lot of Dead by Daylight. Been playing actually with a lot of different people. I've ended up like doing the playing on Thursday for Thirst Trap, apart from my own streams, and then like for the last 2 weeks in a row, I always would get an invite from Intoxicated to play as well. So I've been on like 7 hour Dead by Daylight binges, where thankfully I don't have to do a lot of talking, but it was just like, where did this come from?
I was lurking in Intoxicated's channel one night. It was like midnight or something. I was playing a game on my first monitor and I was channel surfing on Twitch, as I often do. And I heard you and saw you in the chat, and I just cracked up. I was going to say hi, but I was like, eh, sometimes it's more fun to just lurk.
Yeah. Were you there to see the 4 megs?
No, that doesn't sound familiar.
I will send you a picture of the 4 megs.
He was getting tunneled out. And he was really huffy about that.
Things have been stinky.
The game needs a kick in the butt. I don't know what else to say about it. It just needs a kick in the butt beyond just continued DLC.
They need to stop rewarding people for having no skill. At any rate, I also do want to remind other players that if you log into your account every day, then they're doing the December Advent calendar for Dead by Daylight, where you can get usually 25,000 blood points. There will be like a big bunch of stuff for Christmas and Christmas Eve, and a couple of weekends where you get 50,000, where you get rift shards and iridescent shards. So definitely good thing to do, even if you're not planning on playing that day, just log into your game. I have a game that I super super want, but I don't have the $100 to dump on it right now, and I really want Marvel Midnight Suns because I want the legendary so I can get all the outfits and the DLC and do the whole game. But I'm taking donations of Steam Wallet gift certificates, everybody. I'm kidding. I have also, of course, I did my stupid Wordscapes game, which kind of getting annoyed with it. I played a little Cult of the Lamb. I've played Final Fantasy V. We just got the submarine last night. And I played something else, and I can't remember for the life of me what it was. Oh, well.
As I say, I watched you playing Final Fantasy V as well, but it must have been something you didn't stream because I didn't, you know.
Well, I play stuff that I don't stream. It's I started to play a little bit of Hooked on You again. Just had an update for it, but I didn't. I like kind of logged into it and then I was like, oh, I got stuff to do. So I've been playing around a lot in like Daz 3D, trying to make different, you know, 3D models and stuff. And thinking about making my VTuber in it.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, we did get the Genesis Mini too. I'm just going to add that in.
Oh.
So there was some play on that.
Nice. Any games that stuck out for you?
We played Space Harrier. There's a lot of good stuff on there. You know, it's just good old Genesis games.
We raided somebody last week because you weren't here after the show. So we did a couple raids on some randos. And one week I did an old DDR freak pal. One of the weeks you weren't here. I let Bobby pick last week, and he picked somebody he knows through Games Done Quick. And I'm sure he'll shout out who it was in chat. But the reason why I bring it up is that the raid message was, welcome to the fantasy zone, get ready with the whole Space Harrier thing. And I was like, oh, I wish Dark Sakura has seen that, because that's like legit like her thing. So
my channel is technically nicknamed the fantasy zone.
Yeah so Cartridge Blowers was the name of the streamer, says Bobby. So
I like it. Yeah, I like it. We'll have to and I've you know, I've been talking with people about doing some Twitch related things in the public, so keep your eyes open, maybe.
Okay. All right. No, I'm keeping them shut. Okay.
Moving on. Then I'm gonna eat my spaghetti.
All right, moving on. Let's go to Loki. How was your gaming week?
It was all Minecraft, as usual. I've been just trying to like grind out stuff. It's been a month since I put out a video on the channel, 64 SMPs. So it's just because I had a really complicated build and redstone stuff, and it's done. I'm just editing the video now.
Awesome.
Still have to film stuff, but yeah, it was, it came out good, but it was a journey to get it done.
All right. Well, if that's it, I'll go to my gaming week. A lot of the same stuff, a little bit of Dead by Daylight, but not a lot. I also played a little more Vampire Survivors because I've been talking about that on previous shows. I've been into that. Pokemon.
Game is some crack.
It is. And I want to get that other one that Nick was playing, the Soul Survivors or whatever it's called. I want to get that one
also.
That one
looks crack.
Pretty. So I'll probably grab that at some point. But when I stream, I really try to limit myself to Pokemon Scarlet. I'm way behind everyone else because I've had some other stuff going on personally this week, so I just have not really been able to get around to streaming, and I've been saving my Pokemon Scarlet gameplay for stream. I know people have run circles around that game now. Shane has beat both Violet and Scarlet at this point. Is in
how many times?
He completed his decks completely, so I know, like, jeez. Yeah. So, and I'm sitting here going, I have 7 badges, but now keep in mind, it's not just 8 gym badges. It's 8 gym badges, I think 5 Titan badges, and maybe 5 star badges, question mark. Somebody might correct me on that if I'm wrong, but I have 7. So I have 2, 2, and 3. I have 3 gyms and two of the other ones. So I'm a little behind, but that's okay. You know what? I do things at my own pace. It took me a year to beat Sword and Shield, so I'm fine. I'm moving on with it. So it's fine. So I've been playing that. The other game I've been playing has really surprised me. I didn't even know if I wanted to talk about it tonight, but I'm going to, because I know I'm going to get made fun of for this. But I'm like, whatever. You know what? I'm all about honesty and transparency here on Orange Knowledge Radio. I haven't been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14 lately. There's a little bit of a content lull in the game. The free company that I was in has basically fallen apart. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't really know the people in my free company, and like, but all of the friends that I play with, none of them are playing anymore. So I like don't have anything to do right now. I've not fallen out of love with a Final Fantasy 14 by any means, but I'm just in a lull, and I'm just kind of like, you know what, Yoshi-P and Final Fantasy 14, I think it's not you, it's me. We just need to see other people for a little while. And you know what? One of my old F buddies just put out a new expansion this week. And so I reactivated my WoW account.
I'm not touching any of those games until What's His Fuck is gone.
I understand those concerns. And I'm not happy about it either. I feel,
especially after the behavior of another person who has association with the company, I'm kind of disgusted.
I have to walk a fine line here because I have several friends that work at said company, and I want to respect their work, but still hate their CEO. And as I've said a few weeks ago on this show, when I was talking about Overwatch 2 and, you know, Diablo and some of that, here's the thing is that, well, number one, you know, we all know the standby. There's no ethical consumption under capitalism, blah, 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 that whole thing. You have to pick your battles, blah, blah, blah. All of these problems that started with Activision Blizzard are very clearly industry-wide problems. So I would have to quit gaming to really, you know, suitably address all of the issues that are going on. I have to quit Nintendo games. We've talked about that in a previous episode. I'd have to quit Ubisoft games. I'd have to go, you know, you name it. There's problems everywhere. All of these problems are at every studio. So I feel like we have to walk a line. And I want to encourage my friends that are, you know, working hard on these types of things and really and also through that, I've also heard, and I don't know what I can and can't say, so I'm always going to err on the side of can't say because people tell me these things in confidence, that there are real tangible changes that are going on in the culture. And I've been told specifically some of the changes that happened versus the way it used to be. So there is change happening, even if it isn't always visible.
Like I said, part of my reason is also spite.
I understand. That's your reason. This is my reason. So I just, you know, I was kind of curious, like actually what it was. And it wasn't just the whole new expansion, actually. I was super curious about WoW Classic, which just bumped up to Wrath of the Lich King, and I was like, it really was, I want to go shack up with my ex. And I want to go play Wrath of the Lich King for a little bit. And so I was like, all right, whatever. I'm going to pay the money, the $15 to try this month and go play Classic Wrath. And I was actually having a really good time with it. Yes, it's a grind. Yes, you know, it's, but it really was, it felt like playing an old PlayStation 2 RPG. You know, like I'm going back to visit this old friend and, you know, I'm having a good time with it. Where the game started to lose me a little bit is when I got up to the content where I could run dungeons. There's hardly anybody online. And there's no dungeon finders. So you can't find people to, like, nobody's doing the baby dungeons. If anybody's online doing dungeons, they're all doing the end game stuff. And since there's no dungeon finder, they're all doing shouts and all that stuff. So that's when I started to be like, all right, I'm kind of running out of stuff to do. So that's why I went, you know what? Fuck it. Let me go see what's going on in retail. By the way, you'll notice I never said I bought the expansion. I haven't. I just said, all right, since I re-upped this sub so I could play Classic anyway, let me see what the hell's going on in retail WoW. And I got to say, because I haven't touched it in quite a long time, I was very like, holy shit, this game has changed. Because I guess with this most recent expansion, they actually completely redid the UI. And you want to know what the gag is about the UI? It is extremely Final Fantasy XIV's UI. Now,
of course.
But this is what's fascinating about it. That's actually not a dig on WoW. This is where I wanted WoW to be like 5 years ago when WoW was very boring to me. Was that I was like, you know what? Warcraft maybe needs to get knocked off of its pedestal a little bit to really see what else is going on out there and maybe take influence from some of the other kids out on the market. And it took a little while, but boy, oh boy, does it seem like that's exactly what's happened. And I'm noticing an extreme amount of increase in the amount of cutscenes, voice acting, and the other types of music, and the other types of things that Final Fantasy XIV is known for. But you know what? This isn't just a ha-ha, WoW is more like Final Fantasy XIV, because guess what? This is a cyclical thing in the industry. This goes round and round, because you know what? Final Fantasy XIV 1.0, remember? Sucked. Ass. Bad. And when they redid 2.0 and Realm Reborn, do you remember what Yoshi-P cited as one of the big influences for Final Fantasy XIV and Realm Reborn? World of Warcraft. So now we're at a point with these MMOs where it's clear that it's not just one influencing the other. They're influencing each other. That is the coolest part of, I think, what I've experienced so far. It blows my mind. The UI has a UI edit mode, and it is like, it is exactly Final Fantasy XIV's UI edit mode. Exactly. Like, it's not, it's different components because it's WoW versus 14, but like the UI edit thing is exactly like, move this frame here, resize it, move this, the little things in the corner. It's all 14's UI. Good.
Like, but like, how many people though replace all that shit anyway using deadly boss mods? And
so
all
true.
That?
So true. Because I was watching Twitch streamers play it, because that was also a big part of my, I wonder what my ex is up to. Twitch was a huge enabler in that department in wondering what my ex is up to and watching what's going on. And I see all these different streams, like, I can't fucking tell shit for shit from all these mods that people are running. And I was watching people play the newest expansion. And I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on here outside of the cutscenes and some of these other things, because I cannot understand their UI. But when I saw the default UI for the first time, when I booted up WoW Retail, I was like, I legit texted Shane right away. And I was like, you didn't tell me that WoW, like, didn't just like get some influence from Final Fantasy XIV, but like got like a lot of influence from Final Fantasy XIV.
See, I was actually about to re-up my 14 account. Start over.
Yeah, and like I said, everything I've just talked about has nothing to do with like I dislike 14 or anything. I'll be back there when the new patch is out. There's just a content lull for me. But I literally have maxed out everything you can do on Island Sanctuary. I don't end game raid. There's nothing left for me right now. There will be in subsequent patches. Cool. I'll look forward to that. I'm actually glad for a change because usually Final Fantasy 14 and WoW kind of release content on the same day. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but like they didn't do that this time. And I think that's really good, actually. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, Mir Muse in chat says, we'll be here for your hangover and walk of shame in a few weeks. Thank you. Appreciate that. Mike Deft in chat says, competition brings innovation. Yep. SSG 100 Matt says, so Horde House coming back when? Actually, Grandpa's been asking when he can come on Orange Lounge Radio. And I said, as soon as he can clean up his mouth, because the jokes he used to make back then aren't going to fly today. So that's one. But at some point. But then Shane's like, oh, we need to stream or something. So really all I need to do is call Extifer and we probably could get a reunion. So just, you know, wait for it. S200 Matt also says, hey, boo, you up? Rob's text to WoW. Questbuster says, no shame taking a break to play something else. Yeah. Dark Titsius.
Just what went in through my head. No booty calls.
That's not happening. Dark Tetsuya said, Rob's breaking up with Final Fantasy 14. No, we're not breaking up. We're just opening the relationship for a little bit. That's all. All right. All right. So that was my gaming week. There you go. Now you all know why I didn't want to talk about it. But I'm gonna be honest here on Orange Lounge Radio. That's what I do. All right. If you want to send your comments and gaming weeks and all that good stuff, send us an email. participate@orangelaundry.com is a great place to do that. All right, let's get into some news. I would get into housekeeping. I don't really have anything tonight. Bobby Blackwolf is going to be off for the next couple weeks just for personal vacation reasons. So we'll be starting, you know, right at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific at VOG. But as far as our show goes, we don't, you know, it's the holidays, so the news will be a little less probably not next week. The Game Awards are happening this week, so I expect we're going to have a lot of game announcements to dig into next week. We're not going to be able to do a co-stream of the Game Awards, though, because I have other commitments. Bobby is working with the aforementioned vacation. I just think it's not going to happen this year. But I do hope y'all enjoy the Game Awards. I think it'll be interesting. We'll talk more about the Game Awards a little later on in the show. I'm still trying to figure out if we're going to be here on December 25th, which I'm sure you all know is Christmas Day. I just need to make sure nothing's going on in my family, meaning really Alan's family is the one we usually do December 25th with. As soon as I know that, I'll be able to know if I'm going to be here or not. But Dark Soccer and I have been talking about going out for Chinese food, so which is used to be a tradition of sorts. Then the pandemic happened, so this would be the first time in a while. So. It'll be good. All right.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. All right. Let's get into some more gaming news. Because, you know, even though we are in the holidays, this period between Thanksgiving and, you know, all the December holidays, there's still some gaming news going on. And, of course, the Game Awards happening this week. But first off, Loki in the not so great news column.
Yeah, let's talk about Harmonix. So, you know, we're talking about a game shutting down because that's whatever it is that we talk about Harmonix nowadays. Fuser, their kind of DJ mixing sim, the online services for that will be shutting down December 19th, so in a couple weeks. And basically, the DLC and stuff will still be available until then, but you'll only be able to play through the campaign in quick play. You won't be able to play online, obviously. So that's unfortunate, considering that they're bought by Epic, and I think they have the money to, like, you know, keep those servers up.
Yeah. You know, it's well, they are doing, they're Fortnite now. Harmonix is a Fortnite company. They've said as much. But the most, you know, it's Alan plays a lot of Fortnite. Now that's like the game he's been playing a lot of lately. So you know, I've been picking up on what's going on. The no build mode really changed Fortnite for the better for a lot of people, and Alan's one of them. And even for me, I'm like, oh yeah, if they took the building crap out of Fortnite, I'd be interested in it. So he's going to teach me how to play at some point on a stream, so we'll do that. But I always thought Fortnite was most fascinating when it did like the concerts and the movie premieres and the or trailer premieres or whatever, and the pop culture stuff. And We were talking about this a little bit on Bobby's show on Before Us Tonight. I think it's important to state when we talk about the Ariana Grande concert, which I'm sure Harmonix or, you know, what's left of it had something to do with as it's been, you know, absorbed into Epic. The Ariana Grande concert wasn't really a concert. We keep calling it that, but it wasn't like you were just standing there watching a fake avatar on a stage, fake lip syncing to fake songs and stuff. That wasn't what it was. It was an interactive music video. Keyword interactive. You were the interaction. And that's what made that kind of neat. And I'll let you go download Bobby's show if you want to hear a much longer discussion, because we talked about how, honestly, when it comes to like Meta, the companies, or Facebook, if you will's metaverse, it's a joke. It's literally a joke because it's just trying to bring us something we've seen before. Whereas, you know, say what you will about Epic, I'm not always a fan of how Tim Sweeney conducts himself online and some of his tweets and some of the fights he gets into, even if I will always be a fan of ZZT. And I do like some of the things that Fortnite is doing
these
days. Bring
back ZZT, come on. Yeah, Fortnite right? season four
isn't
or five.
Isn't it wild to think? Isn't it wild to think that that guy made ZZT? But then you look at Fortnite and what it's doing, and quite honestly, Loki, you see seeds of that in ZZT. If you want to go way back, I would love somebody had to have done a YouTube analysis. Is there some of you YouTube fans? Is there like a 3-hour YouTube analysis on how ZZT influenced Fortnite? Because if there's not, there really should be. Just saying.
I'm just saying. Just like saying. I know that they tried to push that whole, like, I don't even remember what it was called now. It was a platform that was basically Unreal. But it was like,
oh, I thought you were going to say like ZZT oop.
No.
ZZT oop?
No. No, but there's that too. But like what I'm saying is if they just took ZZT and like, you know, made it kind of polygonal and stuff, but still kind of ZZT where you're building it with blocks and
the
stuff.
The super
like that,
ZZT that we were always promised and technically got, but Lightning didn't hit twice. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about something more modern than that. Okay. Not like sticking to ASCII characters. I'm talking about like, you know, still building with blocks and everything, but, you know, and doing maybe even like it'd be the 2D, you know, over the top type gameplay still, but like being able to build stuff out of that would be pretty awesome.
Well, and here, well, you know what's funny? There's actually, it's funny you bring that up. And then I see in chat, I can't see actually says, I just like Epic free games. Ironic that you bring that up because one of the Epic free games in the store right now is an RPG making game. It's not RPG Maker, but a different one. Somebody will probably yell it out in chat before I get my Epic Game Store up over here. But it's actually a make your RPG game. It's almost exactly what you're describing, Loki, except it's specifically for RPGs. But otherwise, like it's create your own 3D voxel art type of thing. And like it's literally the free game on the Epic Store right now until like the 15th. So it's funny you bring that up because I'm like, actually, that's kind of what's in the Epic Store right now. RPG in a box. Thank you. I can't see. That is what it's called. RPG in a box. So. All right. Jason in chat says, I haven't watched any videos, but I found a video with the title, Why Epic Games Took 25 Years to Make Fortnite, that could have relevance to your idea. Yes. Get the table meme. Get the table meme. Here it is. I'm sitting at the table and my banner at the table says, Fortnite is just super ZZT. Change my mind. Anyway. If you don't know what I know we keep referencing ZZT, and there's probably many of you out there that are like, what the fuck are they talking about? It was an old 90s DOS game that you the most powerful thing about it was creating your own games. And what ultimately became other experiences and other, like, people would basically create journals of their life and things like that inside this ZZT game. And it was a game, it was big when I was in high school. So probably been like 95 when this game was out. And Tim Sweeney made it, and he's now the CEO of Epic Games. So basically his company is what brought Fortnite. Now, again, I don't really like a lot of how Tim Sweeney conducts himself online, but I will always be a fan of ZZT and that stuff. You know, that's, and it was hugely influential to my career as a gamer and the way I grew up in gaming. And Orange Wright also says in episode 561 of OLR, we picked it as a classic game. So...
And that I think was, I did.
Did you? Because I was gonna say that sounds.
I don't
like,
think I did.
No,
that
no,
wasn't
you,
one
no,
of mine.
No, you would. It was definitely a week you were out, and like probably Loki and I were like, "What do we both like?" ZZT. All right. Anyway, let's see other comments in chat. So SG100 Matt says, I hope Harmonix is still there when the music game market blows up again. My worry is if Harmonix gets fully dissolved, like so many of these companies have been doing with consolidations recently, and incorporated into Epic. Hopefully. Also, I want to point out, back to what the story was really about before we got on the Fortnite thing, is about Fuser being sunset. Shad Leland, hi Shane, in chat says, man, RIP drop mix again, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm looking at it going, I didn't really help because I never bought Fuser. I only played it that one weekend. It was free on Xbox, but I was always waiting for that $20 sale that never came. And to be fair, with all the music licensing in the game and things, it was never able to happen. The game was probably too expensive to fund everything in it for that to ever really happen, to be quite honest. So there's that. DJ Rama S asked, did I read Cliffy B's book yet? No, it's sitting on my bookshelf thanks to a very kind donor. But no, I just, you know, there's a million things to do, so little time to do them, right? It'll be one of the, maybe when I go on vacation to a nice desert island that has no internet coverage, that'll be a book I bring with me for sure. That and my John Waters book. I want to read them both. I keep wanting to say Jonathan Taylor Thomas, but that's not his name. Jonathan Van Ness. Very different people. My Jonathan Van Ness book. Although, have you ever seen the two of them at the same time? I don't think you have. All right. Anyway. Also, with Fuser, here's the thing. I think it was a great sandbox, and you could do really cool things with it. I don't think the game just didn't make sense. It wasn't much of a game. And I understand there was a game there. I understand some people played it and had fun with it, but I think they just built rules around sandboxing. And so it was just hard to convince people to pay $60 for a really cool sandbox. And let's be real, Drop Mix was a lot of the same thing. Yes, it was a fun game if you could get people to actually play it and not just playing with the box until they were done with it. So I just think it was a cool idea, but it wasn't able to really be fully realized as a game most of the time. People would wear it out as a sandbox, to be honest. So rest in peace, Fuser, but also when you consider that music licenses are only good for so many years, I mean, it isn't terribly surprising, but it's sad.
Yeah, but it's not really that the game's not, I mean, it's just the online services, though. I mean,
they're not going to sell the game anymore either, from what I understand. I mean, they can't stop you from walking into a GameStop and buying one used, but it's just going to drive up the price of the game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk about a new feature that's coming to the PlayStation 5, and that is PlayStation Tournaments. So PlayStation Tournaments have just been launched by Sony Interactive Entertainment, and that was announced this week in one of the PlayStation blog posts. This was already on PlayStation 4. It's just one of those things that they're catching up with now on the PlayStation 5. It was in beta testing for 3 months, and now it's going to launch with some other changes, including shorter tournament times, seamless console signup, easily discoverable tournaments, a redone interface, real-time match updates, and more. So some of the first official PlayStation tournaments that will be available on the PlayStation 5 will include Guilty Gear Strive, NBA 2K23, and FIFA 23, just in time for the World Cup. You can play and compete to win prizes among these special events, challenges, leaderboard competitions, and so forth with the community. I wonder if Stars are a part of that, because you know PlayStation Stars finally launched, because I don't fire up my PlayStation all the time, but I did. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got to sign up for this PlayStation Stars thing that's telling me about. So, you know, and you can use that to, like, they were literally, you could buy games with that. Only certain ones, but I thought it was interesting. So, Zen Monkey says, PlayStation 4 tournaments was shit. They only had a few games and they took like 2 years to get it working half right. Well, hopefully the implementation on the 5 is a little bit better, but they only did have it in beta for a few months. So, and they did say all of this was from feedback that they got during the beta process. They're also saying that the best PlayStation 5 players will take home accessories like the new DualSense Edge or the Pulse 3D wireless headset. And if you're a PlayStation 4 owner, you can win a PS5 console. Maybe this is the only way to get one. No, I'm just kidding. It's apparently getting a lot easier to get a PS5 console. Which, by the way, I'm not getting a PS5 for Christmas. I just found out. I found out what I am getting for Christmas, but I don't want to say on air yet. But I'm hoping I'll be able to show you all next week. So stay tuned for that. But it's not going to be a PlayStation 5 because Alan and I already ruined Christmas for each other because we do that. So, all right. Let's see. The Winathon badge on a tournament card will allow you to sign up and start your leaderboard for a shot at these various prizes. So it's interesting that it's all built into the system. I don't think I'm good enough at games to get very far in any of these tournaments, but I think it's interesting that that's all set up in there. Plus, I don't play any of those games that were announced there, but nice to finally have parity with something from the PlayStation 4 on the PlayStation 5. But hopefully, to the comment that ZenMonkey11 said earlier, improving it as well is also very important. Also, just a follow-up to something I had said a minute ago, Shane's in chat, Chad Leland, saying Fuser sadly is not a physical game, so this does kill it completely. I thought for sure I saw a physical copy of it at a store somewhere once, but I don't, you know, am I just Barristine Baring affecting myself right now? I thought for sure I saw that at a GameStop in the used game section, but I guess not. Interesting. Not even on, like, was Fuser even on the Switch?
I don't think so. I think it was only an Epic Game Store.
On PC? Oh. Well, I guess it would make sense why, when you consider how it all went down with Harmonix, that's for sure. Interesting. I don't know. Now I'm going to look, but we have another story to get to first. So I'm going to go to Dark Sakura, who's going to talk to us about a big event happening this week.
Indeed, indeed. So, and we do sort of like razz it a little bit, but the Video Game Awards is actually listening to people's feedback, and they're going to make it shorter. It's going to be, of course, Thursday, December 8th, and they said that basically that they're going to make it a little bit shorter. They won't see anything officially yet. Actually, I'll just read the rest of the quote. I won't see anything officially until we're through our rehearsals, but we think it's going to be a significantly shorter show this year. So they wanted to shorten the runtime because they think that there's fatigue in how long the show has taken in the past. And there's lots of games and a lot of things that want to be a part of it, but they're cutting those things out to streamline the show. They want to like highlight fewer of the newer games, and just point out the really biggest of them. And they're feeling good about the show. I'm just wondering if it's like even some feedback from like developers, like, we don't want you to talk about all these other guys. Just talk about us. We're giving you the most of the money.
I think it's probably more feedback from the people he was having to pay overtime to, because I think last year's show went so long that, like, he actually, I don't want to say he was in breach of contract, but I think he had to pay extra money because, like, you know, they run it like a legit TV production. He would probably was in certain clauses of union agreements in the TV industry and all that stuff where, like, he probably had to pay a lot of extra money because of how long that show went. That's likely what it boils down to me.
Well, they're looking like there's going to be, well, Tekken 8 was confirmed to be there. There's talks about the Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Something that will not be there is anything on Mortal Kombat. They said they're not going to have anything available. So we'll see.
They also are mentioning in a lot, because we're still getting a lot of we're on the Friends of Jeff Keighley email list or something, because we've co-streamed the Game Awards enough. They are doing this isn't under NDA. They wouldn't put it in an email like that because we didn't sign anything. There's a in-depth look at Dead Space that they're talking about doing as well. The Dead Space remake is going to be a part of that. So but I and Bobby in chat is giving some more of the specifics about saying they had 56 games last year, and this year they're going for 30 to 40. And honestly good. Like, not everything has to be a fucking event. You know, I'm fine with it being a tighter show. It did go on a little long last year. But you know what? I also understand completely what ZenMonkey11 in chat is saying, going, they should have said fuck the haters and made it longer. Like, I also understand the perspective of, hey, this is like games legitimizing night or whatever you want to call it. This is a celebration of games and all that stuff. I wish it wouldn't end. I want it to go all night long. Now, I think because of the union contracts and the number of hours you can work and all that stuff I just pointed out, that literally can't happen without a lot of money. But I understand.
Do like a second show that's nothing but a showcase.
Yeah. Well, Summer Game Fest. But, you know, in the winter season.
Well,
yes.
Winter Game Fest, too. Come on.
But I also understand there is this whole, it's a yin and yang. You have to do the premieres to get the eyes to legitimize the award show. You have to do the award show to legitimize and get people to tune in, you know, the premieres help people to tune in for the awards. The awards help the developers and get that prestige that they want to be a part of it and showcase their premieres. It's a yin and yang thing. There has to be both, period. It's just the volume of said yin and yang needs to be rebalanced a little bit. I think some of like maybe the things when it comes to like musical performances and stuff, like I like the tradition of have the orchestra doing the medley and all that, but they haven't teased any performances this year, have they? I don't think they really need it. Like unless you're going to get fucking like Lady Gaga or Beyonce or somebody on that level, like, and I love Churches, who I think performed last year. I love Churches, but it just makes a long show longer. And I understand why they just need to cut it down a little bit. S-200 Matt says, a sponsor like Verizon or whoever isn't going to pay for ads at hours 3 and 4 for a long award show because they know not a lot of folks are still tuning in at that point. Well, don't forget the commercials a lot of the premieres and a lot of the things you do see in between. There are commercials very slyly stuck in there. Don't forget that about the Game Awards. They very much put commercials that look like premieres and stuff, or for things that are already out. They very much will have that woven in there. I guarantee it. Because they do every other year. Yeah, promotional
spots.
Everything
is to promote.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. E3VL says, orchestra's only good if you're live. Well, guess what? They're bringing it back live this year. They were selling tickets to go to the LA event. And they're doing an IMAX theater thing, if I remember right, as well. So they're doing, you know, a lot of different ways to get it out there. But anyway, I know we have some other follow-ups on the Game Awards, so let me get to these other stories that are some other things related to the Game Awards. Loki. Loki, you with us?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no. Other things about the Game Awards.
Yeah, so there's lots of cool stuff, like including Valve giving away Steam Decks. 1 per minute. How fancy is that? I guess I'm not sure how you would do that. I guess if you register maybe through their site. Through Valve's streaming site. So if you watch the Game Awards through there, then you'll have a chance to win 1 per minute, which is, I think they said like almost like 180 Steam Decks is what they're looking to give away.
So they just told you how much shorter the show is going to be than years past. Just so we're clear, Valve just told you how much shorter they're making the show this year.
Yeah. So pretty awesome. And then one other thing that is or not coming is an announcement by Ed Boon. He has said that he's announced that he is not announcing anything. So it'll be a very, I guess, cool. We'll wait a little bit longer.
I believe the background on that, because Dark Soccer referenced it too. The background on that is that on the Xbox store, on the website, one of the two, there was a SJ100 Matt says announcement of no announcement. There's a reason for that, because on the Xbox store, there was a NetherRealm Studios like listing that suddenly showed up. And I think it had a name. And it could have been a project name or something, because it wasn't tied to any existing IP. But anyway, people assumed, they jumped to the conclusion that Microsoft listed something early that was supposed to be premiered at the Game Awards. So this is why NetherRealm's coming out and saying, you didn't see anything. We're not premiering anything at the Game Awards.
To be fair, he said, no, we aren't announcing the next Injustice or Mortal Kombat next week. Sorry.
Okay. So
new IP?
Maybe. You know what? Just fucking wait till Thursday. At this point, I'm not going to try to read the tea leaves. I'm just going to wait till Thursday. Somebody who needs to fucking do something on Thursday is Hideo Kojima. And I fully expect we'll do something on Thursday, because this tease, it's officially gone on too long. And you know what? I don't get to give out game awards, but I do think there is an award that needs to be given out every year for shit or get off the pot. And Hideo Kojima would win it this year, because there is that whole fact. Sometimes you tease a game too much, or you tease a thing too much. You need to shit or get off the pot. That's what Hideo Kojima needs to do when it comes to his next project. But in classic Hideo Kojima form, a new teaser hit his Twitter account this week that invites viewers to start a new journey with three mysterious symbols. Some folks are wondering, is this Death Stranding 2? Is this the game that has Elle Fanning? Is Death Stranding 2 also a horror game? Because that's been rumored for some time. But there's one of the logos, the APAC, the Automated Public Assistance Company. That sounds like something that could be like a Death Stranding 2 type of thing. I don't know. This symbol was also present in the Fanning teaser. I'm sorry, one of the other symbols was also present in the Fanning teaser. And of course, we all heard about that video that leaked. So, but whatever Kojima is working on, it is officially time for him to show it. Now here's the good news where all this is going. Hideo Kojima is absolutely besties with Jeff Keighley. And if he's going to announce something, he will do it at the Game Awards. And there probably is a nice, you know, there's no more Elden Ring teases to be done unless there's an Elden Ring 2. God help us all. Actually, though, there's a lot of fans of that game who would really love that, but it's not happening this year. Not happening this year. So what's going to take that last spot at the Game Awards? I think Hideo Kojima, here you go. It's go time. Do something. But I look forward to it. I loved a lot of what Death Stranding was trying to do. I maybe didn't get through the game start to finish, but I think a lot of that game really hit hard because of when it came out. I know Dark Sakura followed a lot of Death Stranding and a lot of like the characters and stuff in it. You were into this too. What are your thoughts about like a sequel possibly happening in that world?
It'll be another game to watch. Because I didn't play it. I watched it.
That's so true. Serious. No, but it's so true. Yeah, either whether you're being serious or telling a joke, either applies, to be honest. Because, yeah, Death Stranding just came out on Xbox Game Pass for PC. So I checked it out again. And it was like an hour and a half before I actually got to move a character. Because that is a Hideo Kojima production. Trademark, patent pending. Anyway. Let's move on. Something we won't see at the Game Awards, I don't think. Dark Sakura.
Well, you know, going back to previous statements about Activision Blizzard and their in-office and out-of-office issues, the Army actually basically killed a marketing effort working with Activision Blizzard for Call of Duty after the whole gender discrimination and sexual assault lawsuits. It was confirmed just this past Thursday. They had a massive marketing campaign that had Call of Duty at the core of it. And now they're like, no. They had a direct partnership with Activision Blizzard for sponsoring its esports team, the Call of Duty League. All of it's been cut off now. And the statement, official statement, is the Army has no current relationship with Activision. The Army sponsorship of Call of Duty League, produced by Activision Blizzard, was set to expire in August of 2021. However, in light of... wait, how old is this? Okay, never mind. I was like, it's talking about all the 2021 stuff.
It's been going on that long.
Yeah. However, in light of the development surrounding California Department of Fair Employment and Housing lawsuit, et cetera, we paused activities ahead of the expiration date and chose not to renew. There's like, again, repeats of some of the bullshit from Activision spokesperson, just all kinds of things, but they are looking completely to make that okay, I see what the issue now. This is actually, it is an older story, and I misread that, but they updated it with the information from Activision saying that they were, you know, shocked by it. They, you know, the quote is saying that no court in California found anything to substantiate it, which is bullshit. But I mean, it's just showing that we're still seeing the repercussions of it today, and they need to keep holding them accountable.
And it's also a way in which a lot of the discourse, for lack of a better term, online led to this, you know, where other companies don't necessarily want to be associated with it. Like, look at what Twitter's going through. You know, I love to pick on Twitter right now. Look at what Twitter's going through right now with advertisers, and how there's many people. And now the current owner of Twitter is trying wants to do the name 'em and shame 'em approach for advertisers, because that's always worked in trying to get advertisers on board with your platform, is to, you know, pick a fight. But I digress.
If the Army really wanted to make good at it, they would be doing some cleaning in-house as well. They're not innocent.
The Army is not in the position to be playing morality police. I get that.
And on exactly the same things, you know, tons of people are silenced for sexual assault allegations. For what about Vanessa Guillen, who they basically, you know, found her dead in a riverbed after she had made some complaints of sexual harassment.
Very good point. So
I'm just saying, we're seeing also a lot of the pot calling the kettle black. So.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about some new information that's come out this week on another game, Loki.
Yes. So apparently the ratings for Final Fantasy 16 have been discovered on the Brazilian game rating board. And it kind of gives us an idea, and probably the game is being mature rated here in North America, but we know what their ratings are based on right now, the different criteria. So it lists that the game will feature sex scenes, not fully shown, intentional deaths, torture scenes depicting suffering victims, drug use, prostitution, sexual content, and hate crimes.
Hold on. Drug use in a Final Fantasy game? Are we going to smoke the chocobo grass? How does drug use factor in a Final Fantasy game?
I don't know. Just injecting that materia, I guess.
Pass on those Gishel greens.
I'm very curious to see. Are they going to stick to only the drugs that were available in ancient medieval times, since they're trying to use that as excuse for other things? Are we only?
Sure. It's only going to be 100%.
It's only going to be absinthe, or I don't even know what the fuck they got high off of back in those times.
Fantasy world, they'll make something up.
100% accurate to medieval times.
Anyway, so when we say that Final Fantasy 16 is getting its influence from Game of Thrones, we mean in every fashion.
I can't wait for the end. It'll be horrible.
Oh my god! Is there going to be a red wedding?
Didn't see anything about incest.
There's so much. I think Square realized maybe there were some lines they shouldn't cross, but I'm very curious to see what Final Fantasy 16's red wedding scene is going to be, because now I'm you're hearing a lot. I'm like, all this Game of Thrones influence. I'm like, there's gonna be a red wedding scene in Final Fantasy 16. Just fucking wait for it.
As long as they actually bring her back as the undead instead of just leaving her dead, like she was in the book. Just saying, we need more vengeful undead.
Well, we have vengeful. What are they called? I want to say summons, but they're called eidolons, titans. I don't remember what they're calling them in 16, but you know, basically that we have those vengeful spirits. So we'll see.
Aerith, what are you doing here? Oh,
Djarama S says. Red wedding scene done to the Final Fantasy VI opera scene. You're welcome. Hey, you know what?
I mean, if as long as it's tastefully done, I guess.
If Yoshi P knows how to do one thing in Final Fantasy, he knows how to do a fucking callback to the earlier games. And something they haven't tried to do in 14 yet, is do the opera scene. So you joke.
Ultros is just gonna be just
you awful. Joke, Rama, but the stage is set, my friend. The stage is set, literally. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. By the way, that's because I believe they've said that Naoki Yoshida is going to be at the Game Awards, either as a presenter or some type of fashion. Ken and Roberta Williams are going to be there as well, by the way. I noticed that came out too. Now, granted, Ken and Roberta Williams are working on a reboot of their very first game for VR. That all started during COVID because they couldn't travel. So they're doing that. So they have, but they're presenting. But Naoki Yoshida is going to be there. So I wonder why. Anyway. All right. Moving on. Next story from me. And it has to do with Twitch. And, you know, if you're a broadcaster on Twitch, this has been like highlighted and spotlit for you. Even here on the VOG account, when I logged in for the first time in a little bit today, I got to see this. And that is the new shield mode that they have put on Twitch. This is part of hate raid protection. Now, I don't want to sound naive, but I haven't seen a Twitch hate raid in a while. I'm hoping that means that people are losing interest in them.
A few people have. There's some who's reporting that people are like gifting subs or making a sub just so that they can have a voice, if they have voice to chat enabled, so that it will be. And and one of the people was like, yeah, I just thanked them for the money and then they quit.
Got it. So people are just finding new ways to be shitty, basically. Exactly. You know what?
But
I did.
They have been happening, but weekly.
I did see that happen on somebody's feed. But I'm of the same mindset where I'm like, you just gave them $2.50 to be a dumbeline, and then that's it. Like, I don't understand.
You paid to be a dick.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, yeah, and I don't want to be like naive or say just because I don't see it means it's not happening. I just want to say it doesn't seem to be as widespread. I'm not seeing the social media buzz. I mean, granted, I'm on a site with a lot fewer people now than I used to be, but I'm not seeing that type of buzz and that sort of thing that I was seeing months ago with it. Dartusia does say, Mish says they do happen. She's seen them on some of her favorite streamers. Yeah, I got it. Tiger Claw says $2 is chump change to them, which is why they probably did it. Hey, actually, it's $5 to them. It's just the streamer gets $2.50 and Twitch gets the other $2.50. But I digress.
You're doing it multiple times.
But I digress. Twitch did add a shield mode this week. It's a one button toggle and it will activate several customizable safety features all at once. You or your moderators can press it and it will limit chat to followers or subscribers, require verification, and implement stricter auto mod levels, and immediately revert back to looser policies once you are in the clear and you unshield, basically. So it's literally casting a shield on your stream. In many ways, there's a pair of different defenses. You can also automatically ban everyone who used a given phrase in chat recently. That's nice, because if people do come in spamming the same phrase, you can just ban them all at once. Or you can disallow first-time chatters. You can silence people with a click. You can, if you want to file reports, though, you have to do that one at a time. But hopefully that process will be streamlined in the future. So that's pretty neat. Yes.
There were a few things about it that kept me from enabling it, though. It wasn't tweakable enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. You want it a certain way. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's nice that that's there by default for maybe the people who are newer to streaming, because for like, you know, you, me, and many of our friends, we've all been streaming a long time now. So we all kind of came up with our own way to defend against this stuff. But the thing we need more of on Twitch is we need to invite more people, more different races and ethnicities, more sexualities, more women, more bigender, agender, and other genders that are out there, more people all over all the different types of spectrums we have in this world to be streaming on this platform. And the nice thing is a shield is something that's there by default now, so that even somebody new to streaming can push the button if they get targeted.
Something else added on there that I heard someone mention about, but I was just checking my creator dashboard, and there's the option to stop raids for an hour.
Oh, interesting.
That you can add to your quick actions. I know that some people have been using it at the end of their stream so they don't feel obligated, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's smart. I get it. Yeah, because how much is that?
I always feel super obligated.
Yes, same. Actually, that's legit. I don't know about an hour, but I think like 30 minutes would be great. Like to not allow raids because you're wrapping up. That's smart. You know what? Twitch needs to take that one step further and actually tell people you're disabling raids because you're wrapping up so that people still will try to raid you in the future. Because I know I've tried to raid people and they have their raids just disabled. And I go, oh, well, I guess I can't raid that person ever again. But now that I know this is a thing, I'll keep that in mind. So that's a pretty smart feature, though. All right. You know what? We're going to go back in our next segment to a time long before we needed a shield button on Twitch. That's for sure.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
Today's classic electronic handheld is the Game & Watch. It was designed by Gunpei Yokoi after seeing a bored businessman on the Shinkansen play with an LCD calculator. After a meeting with Nintendo's president, Hiroshi Yamauchi, and the CEO of Sharp Corporation, has given the green light to develop his concept. Yokoi adapted the simple controls of Donkey Kong, creating a cross-shaped D-pad, into the first model to create Ball. From there, the series continued from 1980 to 1991. The last game made for it was Mario the Juggler. A side note, this cross-shaped D-pad created by Yokoi earned a Technology and Engineering Emmy Award. There are different configurations of the Game & Watch over time, including dual-screen clamshell models, the inspiration for the Game Boy Advance SP, the DS, and the 3DS. Not to mention that there were a bajillion different colors and layouts like panorama, super color, micro versus system, crystal screen, color screen, silver, gold, you name it. The games themselves typically had a game A and a game B. The B version was usually a lot harder. There were some exceptions, like for example, the big notable ones were Judge Boxing, Donkey Kong 3, and Donkey Kong Hockey. The game B was a two-player version. There were 60 different Game & Watch games produced for sale. There's one that's still for sale, and one that was only available as a contest prize, making 62 total. The prize game was given to winners of Nintendo's F1 Grand Prix tournament, and it was a yellow-cased version of Super Mario Brothers that came in a plastic box modeled after Diskun. It was used to advertise the Famicom Disk System. They only made about 10,000 units, and it was never available for retail, so it's considered pretty rare. The Game & Watch series sold 14 million units worldwide during its first year. The Game & Watch version of Donkey Kong, released in 1982, sold 8 million units. Mario the Juggler, which was released in 1991, was the last game created for it. There's also a game called Headache, and it's the UK version of Helmet that's devoid of vulgar connotations of the word in Europe. The title is really hard to find because of region isolation, and it was released under CGL in the UK, and it could be probably one of the rarest of the Game & Watch games. And the one Judge in 1980 had two different color schemes, purple and green. There were a number of re-releases between 1995 and 2002 with the Game & Watch series. There are five Game & Watch collections that were released for Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. They had the original ports as well as modernized versions with the Mario series cast. 1998 onward, there were third-party distributors who were licensed to release smaller LCD versions of Game & Watch that composed the Nintendo Mini Classic series. In 2001, Nintendo released Manhole E that was bundled with the e-reader series, And although there were a whole series of Game & Watch e-reader cards planned, they were never released. Between July 2006 and March 2010, Nintendo produced two Game & Watch collector's cartridges for the DS to be released exclusively for Club Nintendo members. The first cartridge featured three games from the Game & Watch multi-screen series, which was Oil Panic, Donkey Kong, and Greenhouse. The second, Collection 2, contained Parachute, Octopus, and a new dual-screen game with Parachute on the top and Octopus on the bottom. Both cartridges are now available to the public. Between July 2009 and April 2010, they released nine separate Game & Watch ports for DSiWare, including remakes of Ball, Flagman, Manhole, Mario, Cement Factory, and others. In March 2010, Takata Tomy released Game & Watch keychains. Well, styled keychains, anyway. Based on the widescreen versions of Octopus, Parachute, and Chef. They don't actually play the games, but just have a demo screen. They're just there to be looked at. Ball was released exclusively via Club Nintendo for the 30th anniversary of the Game & Watch, with the Club Nintendo logo on the back. Unlike the original, this one includes a mute switch, which is great, for members of Japanese Club Nintendo after the announcement in November 2009. It was shipped in April 2010 to Platinum members. For members of the North American Club Nintendo, it was available for 1,200 coins from February 2011. And for Europe, there were 7,500 stars from November 2011. On September 3rd, 2020, Nintendo announced a limited Game & Watch system that had full NES versions of Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario Bros. Lost Levels, known as Super Mario Bros. 2 in Japan, along with a variant of Ball with Mario's head or Luigi's head with a cheat code, replacing the original character's head. It was named Game & Watch Super Mario Bros., released on November 13th, 2020. And this one was charged via USB-C cable instead of the button batteries. After that, we had The Legend of Zelda on June 15th, 2021. It was released, or not released, but revealed for the 35th anniversary. And it had four games: Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, Adventures of Link, Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and a variant of Vermin, with Link replacing the original character's head. That was released on November 12th, 2021. The system itself was pretty influential over the handheld market. Many different toy companies followed that, as you know, including Tiger Electronics with their Star Wars games. And each of these little units, basically, these were the precursor to the Game Boy. The cartridge system incorporated into that with the screen and everything. Again, Yokoi's invention pretty much rendered the Game & Watch obsolete. At any rate, there's also Game & Watch Gallery, where you can watch the games and the videos and imitate the LCD displays. And again, like I said, they have been re-released through DSiWare. There's a DS release of Cooking Guide, Can't Decide What to Eat. You can unlock both A and B versions of Chef if you use the timer function. Nintendo Land for Wii U has a minigame called Octopus Dance based off of the game Octopus. And Game & Wario for Wii U, which is a play of words on Game & Watch, has many different references to the Game & Watch line, including a virtual Game & Watch version of Pyoro called Bird. This also led us to Mr. Game & Watch, who became a very popular Smash Brothers character. He was redefined and redesigned to make him work in a 3D environment, but he is purely two-dimensional, and he uses the sound equivalent of the sounds from the Game & Watch games, which you'll hear in the video. And of course, we got the Amiibo version, where he has different versions of the character that you can reattach for different poses. And he can be scanned and create a personal CPU that can train and fight using artificial intelligence. The Amiibo is also used to unlock a cosmetic option for Super Mario Maker. And there you go. That is the Game & Watch. And it's a pretty long history.
All right, there it is. The Game and Watch, the final classic handheld of the month for this year, as I typically do in December, because we've done a little twist on this classic game segment for quite a while, ever since I think the first year was, and I have to refer to our wiki to remind me, 2017. Yeah, 2017 was the classic console of the month. 2018 was the classic peripheral of the month. 2019 was the classic 8-bit soundtrack of the month. Classic 2020 was classic pinball of the month. 2021 was, oh, I love this one, the flag, the fucking weird arcade game, the flag of
that
the month.
That was actually really
that
hard
was a
to
lot
do.
Of fun. That was a lot of fun.
It was hard, though, to find material.
No, it was, but you had a good list. And then 2022, the classic classic handheld electronic game of the month, starting off in January with Tron. February with Electronic Football by Mattel, March with the Game.com system, April with the Puyolin, May with the Tamagotchi, June with the Digimon electronic handheld, July with Bandai Terror House, August with the Cosmic 1000 Fire Away, September with the Tommytronic 3D series, October with the Coleco Tabletop Arcade Collection, November with the Nelsonic Game Watches, and then finally, of course, you knew when the segment was announced this one was coming at some point, the Game & Watch, capping it off in December. I have to ask, are we, and I know we've talked about it previously, did we decide finally on a 2023 theme? Were we going to roll with that cage match theme? Because I love that one, but it's up to you, really.
I do like the cage match idea, but it's going to take work.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me wants to table that for like a special thing.
Oh, like a bonus stream. You know, we owe our listeners a bonus stream from a year ago still, but completely my fault. But I love that. Maybe as a bonus stream, that could be fun.
Well, and what I'm thinking about doing instead is the classic 80s toy.
Oh, interesting.
Like toy lines.
Oh, so departing the realm of video games, but maybe not, because there's a lot of 80s toys that in turn ended up influencing games.
Or, you know, on the same thing I could do. Oh no. I'm trying to think of like specific.
My thought is board game or card game, because there's a lot of that stuff that comes over, but I don't know.
But there's some that have just been like classics already, yeah. You know, that were out before then, like the original Cluedo, for example.
Sure.
You know, going back to old Battleship, you know, I could do very specifically games from the 80s, like physical games.
Hmm.
You know what that means, though?
Hmm.
Crossfire.
All right, well, I'll let you marinate on it. Don't final
answer. I'm going to do that.
You're going to do 80s board games?
Board games are interactive games. Okay. Competitive games. And no, Magic, I think, was 89. Card games are not going to go into it.
Okay. All right.
That's it. So
put it on the wiki. It's coming up.
Now I got to watch all those Crossfire commercials.
Yeah. All right. All right, let's move around the industry quickly at a rapid pace and talk about what else is going on in rapid fire news. We'll start with Loki.
So Fortnite Chapter 3 has just ended, and now we have the tease for Chapter 4. And we know some of the things that are going to be coming to that as well. First off, they're going to be updating the graphics of the game. It's going to be running on Unreal 5.1, which looks pretty awesome. And then along with that, though, we have teases for Doom Guy, Geralt from the Witcher series, and Azuki Midoriya. I don't know why I couldn't say that. It was My Hero Academia. And also, I believe there was cameos, at least as part of the cutscene from Chapter 3 of Hulk, and then also there's dirt bikes in there now, and Mr. Beast. It's just an amalgamation of like all sorts of weird stuff. It's like the it's like Ready Player One almost at this point. Kind of. And then this is kind of funny. So Uncharted is getting a roller coaster. That's right. It's not coming to a park, at least near me, but in, I guess, Port Aventura World, they're going to be getting a ride based off of Uncharted, and that's going to be in Spain. It's their largest theme park there, and it's coming out middle of next year. And apparently it's a dark ride roller coaster.
Well, that sounds like fun.
That could be fun.
Oh, yeah, that makes me think of like the Mummy at Universal Hollywood is a dark ride roller coaster. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the first time I rode that ride with Extifer, and we had no idea what to expect. And when the thing started going backwards, we screamed so loud that like we were crying. But it was a lot of fun. Anyway, Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Couple of things. There is a second closed beta announced for Street Fighter VI. They've done some tweaking to some of the characters. Actually, they've done quite a bit of bug fixes on it, balance adjustments. And they also have put in the avatar creation. You can't save or load recipes for them or remake them during the beta, but you can make them. There's different features like cross-platform play, different control types, commentary, all of that was there. And commentary by characters in the game, I think, like different people like Vicious, Tasty Steve, Aru, Kosuke, Hiraiwa, and other people. Then there are different stages playable, Metro City, Genbu Temple, Carrier, Byron Taylor, Chun Hong Yuan, the Macho Ring in the training room, and different game center challenges, different battles, different modes, all kinds of stuff. So it looks like it's going to be just a big push over the last one. I had a lot of fun playing this at TwitchCon. So I'd like to get in on it. I don't know if I can do it, but it is open for Steam players as well. Xbox 5, Xbox Series, and Steam.
You know what? Capcom specifically needs somebody to test this whole Boosteroid thing, so I think you should write him an email.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, if I could, I've been having some issues getting some stuff to play on Boosteroid.
Oh,
so.
No. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to what is going on in PlayStation Plus. December's monthly games have been announced, and an OLR fave is a part of it. Actually, a whole OLR fave trilogy is a part of it. These titles available from December 6th to January 2nd, including Mass Effect Legendary Edition. That's right. If you want to play the original trilogy, but, you know, all the DLC included, the all-in-one, optimized for 4K, all the things, that is available now, so check that out. You can also check out on PlayStation 5/PlayStation 4 Divine Knockouts Founders Edition that is launching, they say, directly into PlayStation Plus. It's, Rocket League got its start that way, so sometimes some big games come out of that. And then Biomutant, part melee shooting and mutant ability action. It's an open world RPG that is available on PS5 and PS4. So those are your free PS Plus games. Go grab them. If you're an Xbox person, I don't have the games. I think we talked about it last week, what's coming out for games with gold. But I can tell you what's coming to Game Pass, which is available, which I saw a longtime listener, Dark Tetsuya, and I, we talk a little bit on Mastodon. And Dark Tetsuya talked about that they got an Xbox Series S. And so I think that's pretty cool. So I know him and Mish were like, what game should we get? And I was like, honestly, if you can afford it, just get Game Pass. So Dark Tetsuya, Mish, and everyone else with an Xbox, here are some of the things coming out for Game Pass. Eastward is coming to cloud, console, and PC. The Walking Dead, the final season, and Total Reliable Delivery Service. Those just came out. On December the 6th, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga. Hello Neighbor 2. That is actually a day one release. December 8th sees Chained Echoes and Metal Hellsinger. December 13th, High on Life and Potioncraft. December 15th, Hot Wheels Unleashed Game of the Year Edition and Rainbow Billy, The Curse of the Leviathan. And yeah, those are all coming out real soon. So check that out if you're an Xbox Game Pass person. All right. Meanwhile, let's check out what's coming out to the retail shelves. I don't think this is a busy time of year for retail, but sometimes we're surprised. So let's travel around and check out some release dates. Loki, how about the US?
Yeah. We have Hello Neighbor 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Chained Echoes on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Idle Janshi Tsuchi Pi Saturn Tribute on Nintendo Switch. The Rumblefish 2 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Samurai Maiden on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. We have Tsukai Tenki on Nintendo Switch. Witch on the Holy Night. That's on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Adventure Academia, The Fractured Continent on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Choo Choo Charles on PC. And Dragon Quest Treasures on Nintendo Switch. That's it.
All right. Traveling over to Japan, it's a pretty busy week still on the Nintendo Switch over in Japan. Witch on the Holy Night is released in a regular and limited edition. Those are coming out in English, but it is a Japanese release. That Tsukai Tenki that Loki mentioned is also out in a regular and special edition out in Japan this week. Idle Janshi Tsuchi Pi Saturn Tribute is out in regular and limited edition as well. It Takes Two gets a release on the Switch in Japan. That was a big game at last year's Game Awards. So if you want to check that out in Japan, that is out on the Switch this week on December the 8th. Atelier Ryza 1 and 2, a double pack, is out on the Switch this week. The Rumblefish 2 is out in English, but it is being released in Japan this week. Dragon Quest Treasures is also out a little later in the week on the 9th. But then Kanken Smart Taisaku and Iken Smart Taisaku are both out on the 8th. On the PlayStation 5, I don't think we have a lot this week in Japan. There is a Pulse 3D wireless headset that's coming out in Japan. I think that is a third-party headset. And then other than that, really, Far Cry 6 gets the Gold Edition release. I think that's just a repackaging of a prior release, but that is also out on the PlayStation 5 this week in Japan. Dark Sakura, what's going on in the UK?
In that, what we have is on the 6th, Hello Neighbor 2 for PlayStation. Also on the 6th for PlayStation and Xbox, Five Nights at Freddy's Collector's Edition. Kuko's Lost Pets on those and the Switch. Also for the three of them, we have Redout 2. We have, it looks like a big Cuphead collection. On the 8th, we have My Universe, My Baby Dragon for Switch. On the 9th, Dragon Quest Treasures, also for Switch. For Switch and PlayStation on the 9th, we have Adventure Academia, The Fractured Continent.
I'm sorry, since you said My Baby Dragon, now all I hear in my head, now who that is, My Baby Dragon, now who that is. All right, forget it.
I was thinking of like the Baby Monkey song. Baby Monkey. Baby monkey.
Baby dragon, do 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 do, baby dragon.
No, I don't know the song.
Can
you believe I have made it this long with not really hearing the whole song?
Really? That's do you think you'll win Whamageddon as well?
No, I lost Whamageddon already, and thanks to Nick I lost the Mariah Apocalypse. I don't mind the Wham song. I like the Wham song. And I like the Paul McCartney one, even though it's really kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I loathe the Mariah Carey song.
Oh, I don't know.
Her voice actually kind of annoys me.
I don't know if I'm technically winning that or not, because I haven't heard either one yet. Well, technically, I haven't heard both of them. But I did hear, when I was picking up pie the other day, I heard a cover of the Mariah Carey song. Which I didn't realize there was a cover of that, but I heard that, so I don't know if that counts or not.
I made it through the Mariah Apocalypse for 4 years until someone finally got me with it. And that was actually last year, and it was Dro.
Honestly, look, they ought to add Kate Bush to the list. And I love Kate Bush, but man, ever since that fourth season of Stranger Things came out, you cannot do a trip to the mall and not hear Running Up That Hill. Like, you just can't.
Mall anymore.
I guess I'm the weird one. All right. I still think malls are fun, even if they're empty. All right.
Honestly, I need to go to a Sephora soon.
Go check out round one at the Galleria, too. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I don't want to go by myself.
I'll come. Just tell me when.
Okay.
All right. SJ100 Matt with a very good point in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Loki talks about pie, but he doesn't say what pie he got.
I didn't get pie for me because I don't like pie. I got a pumpkin pie for my wife.
Aw.
That was like several weeks ago.
You bought the pie and you didn't even eat the pie. That's love. That's love. All right.
I don't like pie, so it's an easy thing for me to do.
That's so...
Say this, in Alabama, I did have some good sweet potato pie.
Pumpkin pie is one of those things that, like, you know, ever since my diagnosis, it's like the one thing I allow myself as a special treat, like, once a year. So it's a big deal.
Ever had sweet potato pie, Rob?
Oh, I have. Oh, yeah, of course I have. I've had sweet potato pie.
I think sweet potato is far superior to the pumpkin.
Oh, well, on that, you're wrong. But that's okay. Everybody has their own opinion. No.
I am absolutely 1,000% correct mundo.
All right, look, one thing we can agree on. Did you do the UK dates? You did the UK dates. Sorry, yes, because I was making fun of Baby Dragon. All right. One thing we can agree on is that Yuzo Koshiro is awesome. And so, Loki, what is our next story involving Yuzo Koshiro?
Yuzo Koshiro is developing, or at least working on, a brand new Mega Drive and Genesis game. It looks to be a side-scroller shmup, and along the lines of like a Gradius or something like that. It's awesome. There's not much that we know about it yet, but there's different ideas that he's been floating around, basically saying that maybe they'll sell physical carts for it. It's like a whole Twitter thread about it, but yeah, it sounds cool. It sounds like he's excited about it. I'm excited to hear about whatever this is.
You're probably, let's be real, Yuzo Koshiro is probably making one of these so he can get bought for inclusion on the Genesis Mega Drive 3 mini when it comes out, inevitably, because it sounds like the type of thing
I
for
hope
it.
It's in there. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be good. SG100 Matt on the pie topic asks, have you had keto pumpkin pies, Rob? Curious if those are actually good. I have not
made one.
Are they good? I don't. A lot of
mine was really delicious.
A lot of the sugar free or whatever they do to it substitutes can be kind of meh. I don't know. Sometimes even with keto though, they mix a little sugar with the sweetener stuff and it goes a long way.
Mine was all Splenda.
Okay.
And my crust was crushed walnuts and butter.
Oh, okay.
So it stuck to the thing and you got the texture, but it was really, really good.
That makes sense. Flipping out the crust like that probably goes a long way. So, but you know what? I can have the real thing in moderation. I'm still doing very well with all that. So, you know, it is, you know, I if you don't allow yourself a little cheat here and there, you'll fall off the wagon hard. So a little cheat here and there is how I avoid falling off the wagon hard. All right. Moving on. I think we're to Dark Sakura. Ooh, I love this story though.
Well, I have to say I actually got myself caught up in a little bit of a rabbit hole, so I'm going to get right back to that because I was looking up board games. which, by the way, I've solidified my idea, and I have just about everything except for 1 month already lined up.
All right. So
our Google Doodle very recently honored the man, the legend, Jerry Lawson. And Jerry Lawson, you know, for people I have to remind, was basically the person that gave us the interchangeable video game cartridge gaming system and created his own company called VideoSoft in the early 1980s. And that company became one of the earliest Black-owned video game development companies, according to Google. And his children... Anderson and Karen said that he loved what he did and he did what he loved. And they thought that his achievements were quite remarkable given, you know, the way things were in.
Sorry for the noise. I actually brought up the doodle to play a little bit.
Oh, I didn't hear anything. In early 80s. But also, he did die in 2011, but that same year he was recognized by the International Game Developers Association as an industry trailblazer. And his achievements have also been memorialized at the World Video Game Hall of Fame in New York. His children say that they wanted to thank Google for working with them to share his story in a doodle, which is a game, by the way, and said, may his story continue to inspire numerous young people around the globe to achieve something remarkable.
Oop, it was a great tribute. I loved it.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
And remember, next time you, you know, dust off the NES or even put in, you know, a game disc, all that is because of this man.
Well said. I'm glad history is remembering him a lot better than it used to. So cool of Google to do that. All right. Moving on, a few more stories for you, and then we'll get to our listener roundtable where we invite your calls over at twitch.tv. Excuse me. Well, you can also chat along with us at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. But if you want to call us, you got to go to Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. And you want to join our green room, and the green room is how we will bring you on the air to chat with us. So we will get to that in a moment. For now, though, we have a couple more stories for you, starting with Loki.
Yeah, so apparently it's been revealed that From Software engages in some level of crunch, according to some anonymous sources from different employees within the company. And this is through Game Industry Biz. They kind of interviewed some of these about different things that they encounter while working there. One said, you know, during critical periods of game releases, I often had to work early mornings and overtime for 2 to 3 months. Another one said, if it's not as if crunch happens on a daily basis, it's not excessive overtime, but it's still called for during the during some of the parts of the release. So they were also talking about their salary as well. Basically it's generally included in the salary regarding the compensation they get for crunch, but that the compensation was not necessarily adequate for some, and From Software didn't appear to satisfied with their salaries either. Okay, well then give them more money. I mean, but yeah, so that they're still struggling to get things right, but if you get over the bump, it's very satisfying. Just like if you defeat a boss in Dark Souls, said one employee. So, I mean, I understand it. Crunch sucks. I know that a lot of companies still do that, but I mean, as long as they're not doing it a whole ton, I still like the idea that they are doing it at all. Just, you know, pace your games a little bit better, but at least it's not all the time.
At least they're honest about it too. I mean, it doesn't excuse it, but you know, at least
the
be
employees
transparent.
Are honest about it. I mean, yeah, well, because true, true. You know, and they have to be anonymous about it. But yeah,
the truth always comes out eventually, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. This last story tonight, this actually came from Discord. So SSJ100 Matt actually submitted this on Discord, and it was too good to not have as a final story for tonight. And it is about a brand new console that's coming out, but it's not exactly, why would we put a console in the last spot? It's not a console for humans. It's the Joypaw, which is a console that is for dogs. And yes, it is a console that is designed for dogs to play games designed to provide physical and mental stimulation for dogs. It was initially conceived as a means of alleviating boredom and separation anxiety for a puppy when it's home alone. But Joypaw says the console has the potential to offer cognitive benefits for dogs. Could also help help delay the onset of canine dementia. A lot of the same benefits they talk about in humans as well, which is interesting.
Why has it got to be dogs?
yeah, I know, right? I'm hoping for the meow paw or something to come after, but we'll see. Anyway, a dog will use their nose to play on the console's touchscreen and will be rewarded for correct choices via a treat dispenser. As SG100 Matt is saying, it can be adapted for cats. Well, that'd be cute. Joypod games including Whack-A-Mole Challenge. I know, cats won't care. Although if you put like an iPad down, because I remember there was an iPad cat thing, and a cat just basically scratches at the screen. That's basically all that. I feel like Meow Mix or something did that. I don't know. Anyway, we don't know when this is coming out, but you will be able to put – you can get one now if you put down a fully refundable deposit of $6, and that means you get a 5% discount on the final purchase price. How nice. How nice is that? And by the way, speaking of how nice, I actually have, just for the folks that are watching live, I have a little video of this in action. And for those that are listening on the podcast feed, you see a good little dog there who's looking at some moles on the screen and actually tapping the moles with his nose. And you see the owner is trying to like show the dog what to do, but the dog's like, I just want a treat. I just want a treat. And so the dog taps the little whack-a-mole thing. And eventually gets a treat. I don't think that dog really wanted a treat, but treats are available. That is a very pretty dog. My goodness. My goodness. Anyway, there you go. That's the Joy Paw. It looks like it would be cute for dogs. I just hope they don't make the games too violent or with too much sexual content. You know, like that's a real problem in the industry. And I just don't think we need to be subjecting the dogs to that. I really hope that they, you know, consider some of that with the game making.
Mm-hmm.
I Can't See comes up with some other names for this. Paw Station, Woof Tendo, Skinner Barks. I think that's supposed to be like Xbox because there's an X in that. Anyway, Dark Tetsuya says rated E for every dog or cat. Zen Monkey says people are going to love it until their dogs start jumping and knocking over the TV. Oh, the truth in that comment, the truth. Be very careful with your setup, that's for sure. All right, let's get to the listener roundtable, where we invite you to participate with our show. You can send us an email every week at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. I don't think we got anything this week, sadly. Did we? No, I see the reverse nodders. So we did not get any emails this week, but participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send it for a future week. However, we also take calls here on this program via our Discord server. And if you want to call into the show, you can go over to the green room. We actually have somebody on the line, so let's bring him in and have a chat. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hi there. I don't know if you can hear me, but you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Oh, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi there.
Hey, I'm AJ Twist.
Hey, I recognize the name. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't called in a long time, but I've been listening to you guys for forever.
Oh, well,
years now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm a podcast listener.
Well, I'm so glad you could join us live tonight.
Yeah, sure. I wanted to talk about the Smash World Tour.
Oh, please do, because... Can you make any sense of this? Because this is worse than an episode of Jerry Springer, to be quite honest, with all the he said, she said. What's going on?
Yeah, well, like, just give you a little bit of background myself real quick, too. I've been playing Smash for years, like probably a little longer than I've been listening to you guys. And I gone to tournaments. I've gone to Evo over 10 times by now, since like 2004. So I've been following the scene for a long time. And the Smash community itself, just fighting games in general, is all grassroots. So it's kind of scary to hold tournaments sometimes with the fear of the companies shutting us down, which has definitely happened with Smash Brothers, probably more than what we know from what I've heard in the past. Mm-hmm. And then what was going on recently with the whole Smash World Tour, they're actually, I think they were hosted by Panda Global. So Panda Global and Nintendo teamed up to do the Smash World Tour. And then what was going on behind the scenes, the CEO of Panda Global, I think his name was like Alan something, I think is what his name was. Supposedly he was going around to other tournament organizers and telling them that they should sign up under Panda to do their tournaments. Because if they don't, Nintendo's going to come through and shut them down. So he's kind of talking to all these organizers, kind of scaring them into signing up under, you know, his whole thing. And I think Nintendo heard about that and kind of got involved. But on top of that, Nintendo is just, I don't know, like they don't love their fans or something. They've every time there's an event and they say they're okay with it, they end up turning around sometimes and being like, no, we're not okay with this. Something else, like referring back to Evo 2013, where Evo almost had to take down Smash Brothers because of Nintendo. What happened back then, supposedly too, was Nintendo got word that Smash was happening at Evo. They're like, no, we need to stop this. And then within hours, I think they're like, backed off. I'm like, no, never mind, you're all good. Go ahead and stream it. But supposedly what happened was it was the marketing department that was the one that wanted to shut down Smash Brothers that year, because that year was the same year that they would announce Smash, I don't know, Smash 4 or whatever game was coming out that year. And so did he want people to, go look at the old game when there's a new game coming out.
Of course.
So there's that whole thing too. So I feel like Nintendo, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just saying, it's interesting to me because I get the sense that like Nintendo seems to have like a working in silos type of problem. And I don't know if that's between the different departments, kind of like you illustrate there with like the marketing department wants to do one thing, but the PR department wants to do another. Japan wants to do one thing. The US wants to do another. Like Nintendo has a serious communication problem within themselves that I think is really showing in this story.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too. It's like they're an octopus and one hand isn't talking to the other hand. It's not talking to the other hand. Not talking to the other hand. So they're all over the place sometimes, I think is what it is too. I think what ended up happening with that whole marketing department thing, almost shutting Evo down that year, was that it was supposedly a rumor that the wife of one of the head CEOs over there, was like following this, and she's like, no, wait, you guys need to stop it. This is a good thing. And then, they turned it around. But that's a whole crazy thing. And that's kind of like, my news or what I can give you about this whole Smash World Tour thing, what's going on. And now the whole Smash community is kind of scared now because Nintendo is talking about licenses, but they're like, but you guys could do your tournaments, but you might want a license because if you don't have one, we're going to shut you down. But at the same time, the World Tour, Panda Globo had a license and they still shut it down. So I was like, are we safe? Are we not safe? What should we do?
Because
that's the other scary thing.
Yeah, because they're not able to, Nintendo's not able to communicate with itself, which is ridiculous. It's just, it's Nintendo needs to have probably some type of written sort of policy with this, or at least I imagine they probably do, but they're not enforcing it consistently. It's just, I'm also reminded, and Loki, you got into this last week when this whole thing kind of first came up, is that you were talking about, it's reminiscent of Nintendo's YouTube policy. Remember when they were like, if you want to show a Nintendo game on YouTube, you got to be through our creator program and we get 30%. And it's like, you can't, Nintendo does not have the muscle to police that. They just
Thing. It's a good thing that their games are good. Cause if they weren't, I mean, their community building is not great.
I know. They really let rest on how strong some of those, games resonate with people. Well, let me ask you this, AJ Twist, because you've been with the Smash scene a long time. How does this make you feel as a fan? Like, are you still an avid fan of Smash because you just kind of look past all this? Or are you like, dang, maybe it's time to pick up Tekken? Like, I don't know. Like, where do you come from as a fan?
Actually, I play more Tekken than Smash, honestly, as of lately.
Good Tekken.
How much of that is because of this bullshit?
That's a good question. I don't know. Those are my friends, honestly. But I would like to participate in more Smash tournaments and stuff. Just being older now, I don't really have the time. But I still try to support when I can, maybe join a tournament when I'm able to. Definitely watch some of the Twitch streams and stuff like that when they happen. But mostly I like going to locals that are not usually streamed. So if we can still do our locals and Nintendo's not going to shut those, comic book stores or small arcades, if the long route, those are not going to get shut down, then I will still try to play Smash when I can. But as far as bigger tournaments, I mean, I go to Evo often and I would definitely join Smash Brothers when it's there at Evo, but it hasn't been in a while, so if it's not at Evo because Nintendo, then I guess I'm not going to really play any Smash at any tournaments, at least big tournaments.
Good point. I hope Nintendo hears, but maybe one person in Nintendo's hearing it, but can't seem to communicate it to anybody else within Nintendo.
They also don't like that they play modded Smash as well. One of the problems.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Yeah, they try to do a tournament using Slippy, which gives the GameCube Smash Melee online connectivity, and they shut that down for one big tournament like last year, 2 years ago.
Because it was during COVID, and of course you had to do the tournament that way. Oh, that whole thing was ridiculous. Yeah,
that's stupid.
Yeah, it's I just, and Nintendo needs
read the room
or they need to start hiring some people who are reading the room. Like, maybe what Nintendo could do is hire some Smash Tournament organizers to really represent them in these discussions, because it's just a mess. The whole communication thing is a mess, and I feel like they just don't understand. And a lot of it's probably just old school ways of thinking. You know, the old guard has been running Nintendo for a very long time, and I think maybe some of that probably needs to be shaken up a little bit, or it's gonna come back to bite them, because they're gonna look to those fans to really push the next Smash game. And I'm sure, you know what? I'm sure the next Smash game will sell oodles and oodles of copies, whether Sakurai is involved or not. Just having the name, it's gonna sell millions from the go. It's just the way it is with those franchises. But it's just kind of one of those. It could do so much more. It could be featured in, comic book stores and this makeshift arcades throughout the nation. If Nintendo would just let the community be a community instead of trying to get 10% of it, it's just silly.
Yeah.
I'll be very curious. I'll be very curious to see what happens with the Panda resignations, though. That adds a whole other interesting element to this that, to be continued.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that, too.
Yeah. You were going to say something
else? I want to share one more other thing, not related though, but kind of to give you a little more background, I guess, what I do. What I'm about to do right now, I'm actually outside my friend's house. We're about to play some fighting games. Every weekend, we get together and play fighting games. And we do a small tournament amongst ourselves. We have Mjolnir, we have Thor's hammer. And that's our trophy for the night. So after getting some practice rounds, we do a bracket tournament. Sometimes there's like four of us. Sometimes there's like eight of us. And then whoever wins, whatever game we decide that night, they take home the hammer for the week.
I love that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. It's like, I bet there's a lot of like board game fans that do something similar too, that have a prize that they pass amongst themselves for whoever, is the winner and so forth. And that's when the fighting game tournaments are, or any game tournament really, DDR, you name it, is the most awesome, is when, it's so community driven like that. And I think that's why it sucks to hear about what Nintendo's doing here, because it's like it makes people scared to do this. Like, is Nintendo going to cease and desist your circle of friends if they find out about it? It's at what
not.
At what point? But at what point do you draw the line?
True, yeah. And sometimes we do try to stream it too. So like, if we do Smash Bros. One night, I might be in fear. I'm like, I don't know, guys. Maybe we shouldn't do this.
And Nintendo can't even communicate where the line is.
True.
But anyway, I hope you don't let that stop you. You know what? We've all got your back. We'll go fight. We'll go fight people if we have to on your behalf. You have Thor's hammer. You can fend people off.
When you start, issuing out some thunder and lightning, though, I'd be really interested in that.
Tiger Claw in chat says Thor's hammer is the prize. I hope the winner is worthy. Well, obviously they've proved themselves worthy, Tiger Claw.
That's the point.
Yeah. SG100 Matt says, that is awesome. Really brings me back to my high school days of playing games. Well, I'm going to guess if AJ Twist has been listening since the beginning of OLR, AJ Twist is no longer in high school, but I think that's awesome that you can still kind of live that. So,
yeah, it is something we like to do as often as we can. And I don't have the hammer right now myself, so I might need to go win it so I can lend out some thunder and lightning up there.
What's on deck tonight?
Don't know yet. I'm about to walk in and find out. I'm hoping Tekken. Okay. I would prefer Soul Calibur. Or maybe Smash Brothers. Maybe we can be ironic and go play some Smash tonight.
I love some irony, so I'm rooting for Smash Brothers tonight. All right. Good luck to you, my friend. Win that hammer.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call. You too. Bye-bye. That's great. Thank you, AJ Twist, for the call. Really appreciate that. That was great. If you want to call us in a future week, join our Discord server, vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. Great to hear from somebody we haven't heard from in a long time as well. And we love the regulars. Please do not get me wrong. We love them. But we also love to hear from friends that have been lurking in the podcast shadows, so to speak, for some time. It's awesome. I just wanted to check in real quick before we wrap it all up and see if we have any last minute stories. Loki, I know it's not really the time of year for him.
I've been looking.
All right. I thought I would. All right. Well, then I guess we'll go ahead and we'll wrap it up for tonight. So thank you all so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio tonight and participating with our show. Whether it was your first episode or your 939th episode, we appreciate you being here all the same. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. but we need more voices to put out on air. Hello. So a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is you found this podcast, those go an awful long way, and we super appreciate those. I did, by the way, this is the time of year where like the Spotify and podcasters get one of those. And so I got to see that there's all these different countries around the world that listen to the show. And did you know there's more people listening to us in, like, I want to say it was one, I think the Philippines was actually the number two most listened to country above Mexico and Canada, was the Philippines. I want to say, I have to go back and look. Sorry, I had a mic mishap here. I have to go back and look to be sure, but I thought that was really cool. So hello to our folks that are listening out there that are helping to inflate the numbers out there. So I appreciate that. All right.
You've got a really good VPN. Just saying.
Maybe. Also, the only bummer about that, and the reason why I didn't post it publicly on any of OLR's social media channels, it appears to only assess the last 10 episodes because our podcast feed is only the last 10 episodes. So unfortunately, I guess Spotify doesn't hold the statistics for the older stuff. So that is true anyway for the last like 3 months or something like that. So I thought that was interesting. So, all right. Anyway, that's it. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts for the night. Dark Sakura, you're back on the dead by, you're back on some DBD bullshit. And I mean that in the nicest possible way tonight.
Oh, yeah.
After the show. So I imagine you want to go set up. So do you have any final thoughts for us?
Not really. People are stinky. And for some reason, my Stream Deck never wants to stay connected. So, oh well. Everyone, try not to suck.
All right. I'll do my best. Good to have you back tonight.
Later.
All right. Bye. All right. Loki, how about you? What's your final thought for the night?
Hopefully look forward to a brand new video from me very soon.
Yay. That'll be awesome. And my final thought is, I don't know. I'm going to go hook up with WoW later tonight, I think, but I'm going to go walk because it's important to get out and walk and do all that stuff too. And I haven't been able to like literally all weekend because it's been raining, but I think we finally have a break in the rain. So I need to go plant some flowers in Pikmin Bloom because I left it out of my gaming week, but I hit level 69 in Pikmin Bloom.
Nice.
All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We'll be back in 7 days on December the 11th to do it all again. I hope you all have a wonderful week. Thanks, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.